Serious stuff. Sin contaminates everything. It's hideous. And yet, with a little bit of sin, big sin, it all contaminates. And God will forgive and you'll be cleansed the moment you confess. He who confesses his transgressions and forsakes them will find compassion.
Welcome to this midweek edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina.
Greg, I think there are many frustrated Christians out there who wonder if what they were sold in this new life in Jesus is just not true because they're not experiencing the abundant life that they were expecting.
Well, you know, Dave, I believe you're right. And quite possibly many of these so-called Christians may not even know the Lord because the basis of their relationship with Christ was about them and not him. Indeed, even for believers, our walk with Christ is derailed when we begin to apply the world's wisdom to our lives and attempt to get spiritual results. And that's just really, Dave, a recipe for disaster and disappointment. Now today, we're going to see what the Lord says we need to do in order to experience His true hand of blessing on our lives. Our text is Haggai chapter 2, verses 10 through 19.
Well, thanks, Greg. And as always, if you have to miss a portion of today's broadcast, you can hear this entire program online at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
And thou hast given us escaped remnant at this. Shall we again break thy commandments and intermarry with the people who commit these abominations? Wouldest thou not be angry with us to the point of destruction? Until there is no remnant nor any who escape. O Lord, God of Israel, thou art righteous, for we have been left an escaped remnant. As to this day, behold, we are before thee in our guilt, for no one can stand before thee because of this. Pretty clear that they had intermingled. And not only had they intermingled, but also they sought the peace and prosperity of those who didn't know Christ. They're touching dead things. Ezra did so, as we see, in their exile. And it's apparent that that had been going on for a while, which I believe was part of the issue with Haggai. Evidently, they were touching dead things. Remember, they were about their own houses, beautifying their own houses rather than working on the Lord's house. And evidently, they were still associating with those in the land. Listen to what Ezra says again, verse 12. So now, do not give your daughters to their sons, nor take their daughters to your sons, and never seek their peace or their prosperity. Never seek the peace and prosperity of the world. Never. You're believers. You've been called out of this. If you do, you're touching dead things. You're touching dead things. Could it be the Israelites were seeking peace and prosperity of those who did not know Christ? We do it in our ways through trying to educate our kids a certain way, compromising where they're at, whatever it might be. We try to do that in seeking security in our houses, whatever it might be, in our hearts. Nothing wrong with a house, but it's where our hearts are at. We try to seek peace and prosperity through our associations with those who are not saved. One pastor writes, Christian, are you touching what's dead? You know what I'm talking about. We live in such a sinful world, don't we? Such a sin-cursed place that on every hand you can go into the newsstands without being hit in the face with sin. You can't turn on a television or the radio. You can't drive in your car without seeing a billboard. It's coming from everywhere. All the sin in the world, and it's hard to walk the narrow way and remain undefiled. We are to be in the world, but not of it if you're a believer. Turn to 2 Corinthians. Paul makes it very clear in the New Testament context, that if we are yoking ourselves with non-believers, our relationship with God is totally messed up. Totally. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. One of the first things the Lord did for me when I got saved, well, I thought I was saved before, but I wasn't, because I could tell. I wanted to hang out with non-believers because they were just like me, because I was a non-believer. And the first thing he did when I got saved was he caused my heart to think differently about them. I was not mean to them or unkind. I was gracious to them, but I didn't hang out with them anymore. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Do not be bound together with unbelievers. Now, primarily the context, chapter 11 of 2 Corinthians, are these unbelieving false prophets, I believe. They were shunning Paul after their own desires. I think it's probably what's going on if you read the context of 2 Corinthians. But the principles go much past this. For what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness? What fellowship has light with darkness? The answer is none. There is no fellowship when you're with a non-believer. Zero. Or what harmony has Christ with Belial? Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? The only thing a believer has in common with an unbeliever is when they're in a sinful mindset, by the way. Then you got commonality. Or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? Guess what? We're the temple of the living God, right? For we are the temple of the living God, just as God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out of their midst and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean. Come out of the midst of the non-believing relationships that are corrupting you and do not touch what is unclean. And notice what he says, and I will welcome you. The implication is I'm not welcoming you right now while you're doing that. And I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, having these promises, the promises of a right relationship with the Lord, by the way, brethren, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Don't touch dead things. We lean on our understanding. We say, well, I've got to do this and this to do this and this and this. And we defile ourselves and our families. Don't touch dead things. It affects everything. And it's not just simply the obvious unbelieving stuff. It's the mindset, their peace and prosperity. Don't seek that. Don't seek that. You know, people who don't know Christ are still made in God's image. And there's a lot of nice people out there. There's a lot of fun people. But God says, you're going to get burned if you associate. We are not to yoke ourselves with those who do not know Christ. And that's the same thing in the church. There are some in here that do not know Christ. Be kind to them. Be gracious. Don't yoke yourself with them or you will become like them. Don't assume every person here is a Christian. You can tell over a while what they think about, what they're focused on. And if it's not Christ, be kind and gracious. Pray for them. Be willing to share Christ, but don't yoke yourself with them, especially teens. Don't do it. It's better to be by yourself and righteous than corrupted. And there's all going throughout so many places. Well, they need friends. They need friends. No, they don't need friends. They need to obey God. That's what they need to do. I've heard people sending their kids to public school for the purpose of having more friends and things. No, no, no. Now, some people can't afford not to do that. I understand that. But when you know the influences that are there, you need to think about that twice. Don't touch dead things. It affects your relationship with Christ. It affects everything. Now, the church is guilty in this also. This current man-centered, earthly, wise ways to win people to Christ, worldly wisdom. Churches can be soaked and complete with leaven. 1 Corinthians, the Corinthian church was believers. They were leavened. But they did confess. 2 Corinthians, praise the Lord. Wholesale spiritual adultery in the churches these days to try and win those who don't know Christ. Leaning on their own understanding and wisdom. Don't touch dead things. Don't use the world's way to do God's work. Turn to James chapter 4. There are so many influences around us, brothers and sisters. We are living in Canaan. It's everywhere. I'm not talking about being a self-righteous, jerky person. I'm talking about being gracious and kind to those who do not know Christ, having compassion for them, praying for them, being kind to them, but not yoking with them. Not yoking. I've told my kids often, no, you should not be yoking for their good. I learned it the hard way. Bad company corrupts good morals. The companion of fools will suffer harm. James chapter 4, verse 1. What is the source of your quarrels and conflicts among you? Is not the source your pleasures that wage war in your members? You lust and do not have, so you commit murder. You are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. And you ask and do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. You adulteresses, you spiritual adulteresses, Do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility towards God? Now, the only time I was a friend with the world was when my heart was not right, folks. And I can tell you that right now. It's when your heart is not right. Confess, be forgiven. God will forgive you. Do not touch what is dead, or you defile everything. Let's go back to our passage in the book of Haggai. Verse 11. Thus says the Lord of hosts, ask now the priest for a ruling. If a man carries holy meat in the fold of his garment and touches bread with that fold, cooked food or wine or oil or any other food, will it become holy? The priest answered and said, no. Then Haggai said, if one who is unclean from a corpse touches any of these, will the latter become unclean? And the priest answered and said, it will become unclean. And then here is the indictment. Here's God's indictment. Then Haggai answered and said, so is this people, and so is this nation before me, declares the Lord, and so is every work of their hands and what they offer there. Everything is defiled. This people, this nation, every work of their hands and what they offer there, it's all defiled. Don't delude yourself thinking everything's good with God if you are touching dead things. It's not good. Now, God is good. He's disciplining. He loves them. These are the ones that want to follow Him. And all of us will be tempted with this. But think about the non-believer who does these things and thinks everything's great, right? They think they have a great religion. Not the case. James 1:26. If anyone thinks himself to be religious, does not bridle his tongue, he deceives his own heart. That man's religion is worthless. This is pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father, to visit orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained by the world. Serious stuff. Sin contaminates everything. It's hideous. And yet, whether little bit sin, big sin, it all contaminates. And God will forgive and you'll be cleansed the moment you confess. He who confesses his transgressions and forsakes them will find compassion. What about Achan in Joshua chapter 7? Everything was defiled, right? What about Ananias and Sapphira in the book of Acts? You can read that. Folks, we have a culture that has turned the grace of God into licentiousness in the church. We have defiled churches everywhere. And yet we individually can be defiled when we associate with the things of the world. Remember, these Jews were initially not disobedient. They were obedient. They're about His work. And then they stopped working, disobedient. God convicted them. They got about His work. Then they got discouraged. God encouraged them. But yet they had not dealt with these issues, and God is now dealing with this here. If you have unconfessed habitual sin, unwilling to give it up, all your work of your hands is unclean. Some of you have yoked your hearts with unbelievers. You hang out with those who do not know Christ, and yet you think because you come to church or whatever it might be that you're okay. Everything's defiled. Confess. Some of you are coming to be counseled, yet unwilling to give up your sin. You think because you see a pastor or a biblical counselor that everything's good, but no. Confess your sin. Are you touching dead things in your mind? Through the world's wisdom, counselors, TV, Christian radio, lots of dead things on there. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Had a visitor come here once who was telling me about a church they were going to, and they were very clearly understood it was a bad church. Said, "This, I know this is bad, this is wrong here, here, and here, but the Lord is using me there." And I said, "No, He's not." He said, "Yes, He is." He says, "No, He's not." And I shared this passage. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Until you separate and confess, let me tell you this bluntly, your attempts to raise godly children defiled, attempts to have a godly marriage defiled, attempts to build His temple individually through Bible study, prayer, unclean, defiled, attempts to build the body of Christ, His temple corporately, unclean, defiled. But the good news is that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us right away from all unrighteousness. Notice verse 14. Let's finish up here. Then Haggai answered and said, so is this people, and so is this nation before me, declares the Lord. So is every work of their hands and what they offer there. That's their worship. Their worship's defiled too. You can look at Nadab and Abihu later in Leviticus chapter 10, but they offered not according to what God had commanded. It's all defiled, and they were killed. As Ezra would say, that they sinned seeking the peace and prosperity of the nations or the world. So with this in mind, what does God say to do? Look at verse 15. But now, do consider from this day forward. Do consider. Set your mind upon these things. Before one stone was placed, another in the temple of the Lord, from the time when one came to a grain heap of 20 measures, and there would only be 10. And when one came to a wine vat to draw 50 measures, there would only be 20. I smote you in every work of your hands with blasting wind, mildew, and hail, yet you did not come back to me, declares the Lord. Now remember, consider. From the time before one stone was placed upon another, I believe he's talking about when they got back to work. Every commentator says this is referring to when they chose to come back to start working. From the time that you came back and started putting stones back on there, that's the grammar in there in the Hebrew seems to point to that, has anything changed? No. He's still disciplining them. Has anything changed? No. Consider, God's hand is still disciplining you. The wine isn't there. The grain isn't there. Same thing. They responded to the message 3 months ago, worked on the temple, but nothing's changed. Set your mind on that and look back. He says here, verse 17, I smote every work of your hands, blasting wind, mildew, and hail, yet you did not come back to me. It's personal. When we're disobedient, we're going to experience his discipline. Lack of contentment, spiritual drought, dryness, disciplinary hand upon us. Think carefully. Is that happening to you? Are you blessed? Are you joyful in the Lord? Notice what he says here now in verse 18. Do consider from this day onward, from the 24th day of the ninth month, from the day when the temple of the Lord was founded, consider, is seed still in the barn, even including the vine, the fig tree, the pomegranate, the olive tree? It has not borne fruit. Do consider. Do consider from this day. And again, this founded begins, I believe, from the point that they began to work again. Everyone agrees on that. Not the initial founding, but when they got back to work. Consider. Is there seed still in the barn? No. Any harvest? No. Including the vine, the fig tree, the pomegranate, the olive tree, it has not borne fruit. Any harvest? Why? You're being disciplined. You're touching dead things. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Sin has defiled your work, left you under God's disciplinary hand. Maybe it's a deadly attitude, ungratefulness, unforgiveness, worry, anger, fear, bitterness. Maybe you're hanging out with the dead, not personally, but maybe through TV, media, and magazines. Maybe you're talking like the dead, swearing, yelling, using ungracious words. Maybe you desire dead things through the pressure of the world's way, illicit sex, drugs, alcohol, medication for depression, whatever it might be, because God's disciplining you. What's the solution? Back in verse 17, you did not come back to me. It's going back to Jesus for forgiveness. And rend your heart, not your garments, Joel would say. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness and relenting of evil. Turn and confess. And you will experience true blessing. Notice our passage. Verse 18, do consider from this day onward, from the 24th day of the ninth month, from the day when the temple of the Lord was founded, consider. Is seed still in the barn, even including the vine, the fig tree, the pomegranate, the olive tree? It has not borne fruit. Yet, from this day on, I will bless you. Very interesting. Now, what's the basis of blessing? He says, from this day on, I'll bless you. What's the basis? Israel had a covenant with the Lord. If they obeyed, they were blessed. If they didn't, they were cursed. He's saying from this day on. What's so important about this day? Remember I told you to write the date down? Note it. It's exactly 70 years to the day, Jewish 360-day years, from when the Jerusalem was seized by the Babylonians. 70 years to the day. God's discipline is done. The implication is, I'm going to bless you. The implication is that they obeyed. 70 years to the day. You can look in 2 Kings, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. They all record this day. You see, God made it clear if they sinned, they would be cursed. If they trusted the Lord and obeyed, they would experience blessing. So what's going on here? Boy, the time is flying here. I'm rushing through this last part here, by the way. We could have had another half an hour on it, but I'm going to just bring it to a close here. The reality is, he's going to bless them from this point on. They're going to be blessed. Well, what about us? Does that mean, you know, God's going to take care of everything for us and give us a new car, a house? What does it mean for us? Throughout Scripture, we see that true blessing comes through a relationship with Abraham's seed, that's Jesus Christ. That we are truly blessed when we walk rightly with the Lord. Let me just share one passage. I had a bunch, but let me share one. Turn to Romans chapter 4. You see, if you're in your sin, you're not blessed at all. But if you confess your sin, you are blessed. Romans chapter 4, verse 6. Just as David speaks of the blessing upon the man in whom God reckons righteousness apart from works, blessed are those whose lawless deeds have been forgiven and those whose sin has been covered. Blessed is the man whom the Lord will not take into an account. We know you can read Matthew throughout. Those who are blessed are those who mourn over their sin, who are spiritually bankrupt, who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Those are the blessed. We see in 1 Peter chapter 12 that because they're suffering, that they are blessed because God's Spirit rests upon them. Blessed. From this day on, you can be blessed. You can be blessed by confessing any association, anything that you've done, defiled yourself with. Confess it, be forgiven, and be blessed with a right relationship with Jesus Christ. So then, how can we experience true blessing? We saw today that doing what God wants us to do doesn't make you holy, but sin defiles everything. Confess. Are you touching dead things? Confess. God will forgive you. He will bless you in your relationship as you walk in the context of forgiveness.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. And Greg's message today is from his series in the book of Haggai. Now, you can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, you mentioned the verse that reminds us to be separate from the world. So how far do you take that?
Well, Dave, that's a really good question. What I'm not saying is that we should become reclusive and shut ourselves off from society. Scripture is clear. We are to be in the world and not of the world. And within that context, as we follow Christ, we're going to be salt and light if we don't allow ourselves to be defiled by worldliness. Simply put, as we trust Christ, His life through us will manifest itself in the midst of a dark world. He will use that excellent behavior, those good deeds, as an opportunity, as Peter says, that non-believers might glorify God in the day of visitation. Mm-hmm. And we are, by virtue of our relationship with Christ, the light of the world. Folks, we don't judge the world. God does, 1 Corinthians 5. But as we manifest the fruit of a relationship with Christ, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, as the life of Christ shines forth from us, God uses that for redemptive opportunities. But if we allow ourselves to be conformed to this world, being arrogant, lacking compassion, being unkind, being self-focused, rather than transformed by God's word, our testimony is worthless, defiled, and empty. Turn away from those things. Turn to the Lord. Confess your sin when you're entangled with the dead things of this world. Turn to Christ and allow His word to change your life. Then you will be a manifestation of Christ in a dark world that desperately needs Jesus.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.